ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports, right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We get into all kinds of different stuff. An early look, an early peek ahead at what's going on this week in high school football, most namely Elk City versus Clinton. Man, I kind of started gathering up some historical numbers from this series. Yeesh. The Elk City folks might want to turn us off at about, I don't know, 9:45. Well, hasn't been great.
There's not a lot of teams that have successful numbers.
That's true.
Against a program like Clinton. There's probably one.
Outside of Ada. Yeah, outside of Ada.
They've played maybe a dozen times, maybe, but... So don't feel bad. That's what I'm saying.
Well, listen.
Everyone's in the same boat.
Ada, Carl. You know who? No, I'll tell you who has, outside of Ada, and maybe even better success than Ada against Clinton.
Who's that?
Heritage Hall.
This is true. Heritage Hall's had their number.
Heritage Hall might be the one team that can rival Ada with success against Clinton, but the Elks have had almost none. Talk about that. Look forward to the game a little bit on Friday. Speaking of Friday, Dennis Smith, voice of the Red Tornadoes, will be with us to start the show Friday to look ahead to a Friday night's matchup between Elk City and Clinton. NFL, we're finally going to get to it today. What happened last week, top five, bottom three, look ahead a little bit to tomorrow night. What a game, huge game tomorrow night between the Green Bay Packers and the Arizona Cardinals. That'll be a fun one. Could be an absolute shootout between those two teams. Also, last night, Game 1 of the World Series, Braves beat the Astros 6-2, got off to just an absolute rip-roaring start. A couple of all-time records set by Atlanta last night, which anytime you do, good or bad, honestly, in baseball, when you do something that's never been done, I think this is the 117th World Series, and Atlanta did something that had never been done last night, a couple of things, so that's good. Charlie Morton's tougher than everybody listening to the show. With what he did.
Unless your name is Nolan Ryan.
Unless Nolan, if you're listening, sorry, bud. Call in, by the way, 225-9698.
We'd love
to get your thoughts on the game last night. But, man, what a short but gutty performance by him. The Braves bats got going early. They won the game. Here's the problem, though. God, it's just so hard to watch. I sat down. Family time watching the World Series like it was 1990 or something, you know, as I was a kid getting to watch the World Series.
Yeah.
And 2 1/3 innings later, it was damn near 2 hours long, and it's like, well, we can't watch the whole game. So how do you fix that? Now, I mean, there's lots of ways, I guess. The game is just going to be long, so how do we get that family experience? Because here's the problem. My son is right in that age of needing to start loving baseball, loving Major League Baseball. 10 years old, hey, let's have an awesome World Series. We can watch it and enjoy it and kind of start building those feelings for baseball like we had as kids.
Right.
And he got to watch 2.5 innings. You know, I mean, it just, what? So,
yeah.
Got to figure out that issue. And then also some memories. I put together some, you know, some plays. Last night to try to get everybody kind of in the mood, and I mashed them up, and we can just listen to that a little bit at some point here at the top of the show. And then, you know, to that point, what are the stuff that you remember watching, kid or even a little bit older, that made that time? I mean, I'll just kind of what I'm looking for here. I'll never forget that 91 series between the Braves and the Twins, one of the better ones we've seen. And you know, when we grew up, the time that we grew up, the Braves were on TBS. You could watch every game. So you, and early on in my life, and I don't even know if you're younger than me, so you may not even remember how bad they were in the mid to late 80s. They were terrible. And they were just the whipping boy of the league. And then all of a sudden, 1990, 1991 especially starts rolling around, they've got all these young homegrown guys that turn out to be this 104-win team that goes to the World Series out of nowhere. That's what I think that was the first time I ever heard worst to first.
Yeah.
Because they were worst in the NL West the year before and first and won the division that in 1991, end up in the World Series. So, you know, that was a team that it was easy to root for a, me at 10 years old or whatever. And I remember watching that Kirby Puckett home run, which you're going to hear here in a little bit, in Game 6, and thinking, oh, that's terrible. Darn it. You know, the Braves didn't win. I remember that my dad going, you know what? Don't worry about that. You know what this means? We get one more baseball game until next April.
Yeah.
Now, and that baseball game happened to be one of the most classic games you're ever going to watch, with Jack Morris going 10 shutout innings in Game 7 of the World Series. And the Twins winning 1-0, and that didn't help Kirby's home run anymore, make that any more memorable for me. But, you know, but that's the way it was looked on back then. Hey, we get another game. Great. I realize I realize the team you wanted to win didn't win, but we get to watch another baseball game. I'm sure that wasn't your feeling in 2011. I'm sure you were tired of watching baseball at Game 6 of 2011.
Oh, boy.
But, you know, that's just something. But we got to share that experience, and that's the problem with what's happening right now with the length of the games, the time of the games. I mean, it's midnight on the East Coast before the game was over last night. And you can't share those experiences with your young kids because they got to go to bed. They can't be up till 11:30.
Yeah, that game last night when it was a third inning and dang near 9 o'clock, I think 8:40 something. I remember this, but because listen, full disclosure, I'm not feeling good, so I was kind of in a haze last night. But I'm laying on the couch. I'm like, what time is it? What year? What time zone am I in? This game should be in the sixth inning, not the third inning.
Yeah.
So, and that's a shame because you're right. Kids got to go to bed, and you know, we're about to talk about World Series memories, and one of my memories was having to sneak up and stay up to watch a Game 7 because it was Game 7. I'll tell you which one that is coming up. But you know, my parents were like, go to bed, time to go to bed. You know, and I had a little TV in my room, and mm-hmm. I had that thing on.
Like mute.
not even mute. It was just a couple clicks up. Yeah. And listen, my dad probably knew.
Right.
And he probably didn't care. But yeah, I mean, but I get it too. You want to stay in a time frame, a window where the most viewers can see it in America, meaning, you know, I mean, that was played in Houston, and so if you do it any earlier, then people aren't going to be home from work, you know, on the West Coast. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It's TV driven for sure. But
absolutely.
Hey, believe it or not, there was a point in our country's existence where World Series games were played in the afternoon, and you listened to them at school.
Yeah. Yeah.
You listened to them at school. Notice that caveat I threw it in there. Listened to them at school, not watched them at school. There's a lot of different, you know, elements of it. And to be honest with you, one of them isn't make the game shorter because they've tried 100 things and it hasn't made the game shorter. The games just aren't going to be long. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that notion or that suggestion to me is just kind of spitting in the wind. Because of all the things that have been tried, it just doesn't shorten the game. So is it a game time? Those are kind of the things that to think outside the box, I think, to be able to get kids, young kids, you know, to watch the games and then watch the ends of the games. Because then you see some of the things that happen, like we're going to hear in the montage of sound that I've got put together. 225-9698 is the phone of the text line, 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text, tell us about your World Series memories. I already have one that I have written down on my paper as well. That Diamondbacks Yankees World Series was just phenomenal.
That's the one you were talking about. No. It's the one earlier, but that's one of mine too.
Oh, yeah. 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, you can catch us on KADSAM.com or the Paragon Communications app live. Just click on the Listen Live button on KADSAM.com. hit play and you're live streaming us, or the Paragon app has radio stations, all three of them here in Elk City, with KADS, Cool 94, and KECO. You've got the Penny News in the app. Check out the this week's deals in this week's edition of the Penny News online, thepennynews.com. It refreshed last night at midnight, so a fresh copy of the Penny News out there online. The print edition will start to filter out this afternoon into tomorrow morning. Everybody will be able to go pick up a free copy of this week's Penny News. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, both be live on Friday with high school football. Elks over in Clinton, Merritt will make the trek up to Fairview. And then on Tuesday, believe it or not, next Tuesday, less than a week away, high school hoops will be on Paragon TV. I think, is Canute one of those games on Tuesday?
No, they're a week from
Friday.
Okay,
we've got to
go to KADSAM.com.
You've got it.
And there's a calendar, and you can see all of our Paragon TV games. I got it updated through the first semester. I haven't worked on January yet. But, so, as I do that, let's see who's playing. I know Leedy's one of them, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, maybe
Leedy
it's
and Arapahoe.
Maybe it's
it's Granite at Arapahoe Butler. I'm sorry, it's Cheyenne Raiden at Sweetwater. So, there, those are the two games that will kick things off on November 2. And then the following Friday, the next Friday, November 5th, that's when we get everybody.
Probably everybody playing that day.
Eric at Canute, Sentinel at Hammond, Leedy at Sweetwater, Visai at Cheyenne, and Blair at Arapahoe. And this is real convenient. If you go to this website and you click on the date, and then you see your team, you click on your team, it's going to take you directly to their Paragon TV domain. So, for instance, if I wanted to go watch the Hammond game, I click on Hammond, boom, Warrior TV pops up.
There you go.
Simple as that.
Man, it's hard to believe. Already into high school basketball next week. Then also, the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and listen to it. iTunes or there on KADSAM.com. Already getting that.
I'm already getting suggestions on how to speed up the game.
Are you really?
Yeah,
that's great. So,
I like that.
I've already got some stuff on as far as memories. That Diamondbacks Yankees World Series is a common theme here on our text line. I tell you what. Let's hear some of those suggestions as far as speeding up the game, moving the game times, whatever it's going to take to be able to see kids, to help young kids be able to see these games.
Right.
Because, listen, the 7 o'clock starts, at least in the central time zone. It only gets worse in the east.
Yeah.
But you're talking about, you know, last night, three innings, and then it's kind of bedtime.
Yep.
And, you know, it's hard for me, or it would have been hard for me as a 10-year-old, and I can tell you right now, the 10-year-old I have in my house, it was hard for him to get very attached, even though he's rooting for the Braves because, like, everyone outside of Houston and maybe one guy that lives north of town here don't like the Astros because of the cheating scandal.
Right.
And so, you know, and Wyatt likes the Rangers, so – I don't think he understands that Rangers-Astros dynamic just yet. But
I'll teach him.
But he definitely is rooting for the Braves in that capacity. But even him, the Braves, it was a dream start, right?
Yeah.
And it got to be 5-0, and he was already kind of bored. Hey, can we watch the kids' baking championship?
What?
I said, what? It's the World Series. Let's watch that instead. This game's over. You're going to win. Like, okay, but you know what I'm saying? And so that, A, he's not much of a Braves fan. Otherwise, you'd be wanting to sit there and watch every bit of it. But B, it was kind of lagging along there, and it's just it's hard to keep the attention span. Listen, the world, maybe this is just a lost cause because the world is so much smaller now than it was, gosh, 30 years ago when I was 10. And that was the only option. The option was go to bed or watch this World Series. Now it's, let's watch this, or let's watch that, or get your iPad out, or what have you, for the last, you know, 15 minutes of being awake.
Right. You wish, I mean, as far as keeping kids engaged, there is, and I know there is, but kids, I like what the NFL's been doing. Have you seen the Nickelodeon stuff?
You mean like making them, like when they show their picture, it's like a superhero looking thing?
Well, they're.
I mean,
I remember last
that.
Year. I don't know if they've done it this year, but last year, and I'm not asking them to do this with the World Series, but it's just an example. It was just a regular season game where it was the Thursday night game, and they simulcast it on Nickelodeon. Will is more of a kid-oriented
broadcast
to get the kid interested. Like when a guy scored, then they had – it wasn't real, but it's like fake slime go on to the end zone, and kids love that stuff. You know, you mentioned iPad. I mean, you know, maybe there's a way you can – MLB can put out some kind of a kid-friendly app that interacts with the game, you know, that teaches the kids like, hey, this is – you know,
how to score the game.
How to score the game. This is how a batting average is computed. Stuff like that, you know, to keep kids, because let's face it, it's 2021. We have to limit our kids to iPad time and screen time. It's a draw to them. Well, you'd think they'd find a way to be more inclusive. Like, okay, listen, these kids are not going to watch a full 3.5 hour baseball game, maybe longer, and stay engaged, especially if it's already 5-0. But how do we keep them engaged? Well, you know, say, hey, watch the game and interact with the MLB Kids app. And I don't know. Stuff like that.
Yeah. And here's – we talked about, you know, the people being at work. Here's the thing. I mean, and not every game's going to work like this. Last night's wouldn't have worked like this. But what if it started at 5 o'clock our time? And then you get everything around, you get done, and you join it in the fourth or fifth inning. Now you get to see the dramatic part of the game instead of the first. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, or, hey, here's an idea. Play one in the afternoon and play it on the TV at school where, you know, because what's a better draw for a kid to watch a baseball game than not have to do schoolwork?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, hey, let's start one at 2 in the afternoon or whatever it is.
And it is, like I said, it's 2021. Shoot, I got a TV in my office. We all have capability of turning it on, whether going to a website or turn on a TV that's with Roku in it, you know. I don't think that's a bad idea to have a game in the afternoon. You know, we play March Madness in the afternoon.
That's exactly what I was going to say. What are the two of the coolest days there is on the sporting landscape? It's that Thursday and Friday of the basketball tournament. So why not at least try it? Because here's the deal.
A lot of bosses and managers went, no, no, no. That's going to mess with our productivity.
I don't know. Well, the good news is at least right now in this space and time, a lot of the bosses and managers are old enough to still like baseball.
Yeah, that's true.
So it might work out even better for that than it would the NCAA basketball tournament. But here's the thing about it. Everyone's worried about just corporate dollars, advertising dollars for the ratings and everything. But like you say, those no one bashes the ratings for the basketball tournament because it's played at 11 o'clock in the morning, our time. They're great because you know why? People watch it at work. It's expected.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying you have to do every game like this. But just enough of a hook to get the younger generation to not be forced to watch it, because obviously that's not the way you right now deal with this generation of people, by making them do something. You almost ought to tell them, you know what, we're not watching the World Series. Whatever you do, I don't care how bad you want to watch it, we're not. And then they'll go, oh, no, I want to watch. I watched it happen last night. So
what about like a game on a Saturday afternoon? I don't, you know, now is probably not ideal.
Yeah, that's the problem. Saturday or Sunday afternoon are bad timing. Yeah.
But I mean, you see what I'm saying though, as far as you don't have to mess with bedtime, you don't have to mess with school, you don't have to mess with work. But yeah, it is October and it's right smack dab middle of football season.
The evening games, but at least on the afternoons or a Friday night, I mean, you know, Friday night's still high school football and people are still out and about. But the thing is, with the game times, you can kind of double dip. You can go watch your favorite school, get home, and watch the last three innings of a baseball game in the World Series.
Yeah.
Because of how long it's taken to play the games. I mean, I know there's a lot of suggestions to shorten the game. I just don't think it's going to happen. So it has to move on to something else. Something else to get the young kids hooked. Because here's the deal. One of the greatest things in sports is the World Series, and the amount of sound that I was able to gather without even trying yesterday was off the charts. And so it's like 2.5 minutes worth of just some plays that I put together on my own thought, and I asked one guy, what do you remember? You know, what are the games? What are the plays? What are, you know, and just clipped out sound. You might want to duck your head about I don't know, 45 seconds to a minute and a half in. But other than that, I think you'll enjoy the rest of it.
Got it! The greatest game ever pitched in baseball history by Don Larkin. A no-hitter, a perfect game in a World Series.
There's a long drive way back in center field, way back, back, it is Willie Mays! Willie Mays just brought this crowd to its feet with a catch which must have been an optical illusion to a lot of people.
Into deep left center from Mitchell, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
Graves hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
There it goes, a long drive. If it stays fair, home run.
So the winning run is at second base with two out, 3-2 to Mookie Wilson. Little roller up along first, behind the bag, it gets through Buckner, here comes Knight, and the Mets win it!
The chance of a lifetime for Luis Gonzalez. 2-2, bottom of the ninth, game seven of the World Series, bases loaded. Fielder, center fielder, the Diamondbacks are world champions!
So the tying run is at second. The run that would win the World Series is at first, and Joe Carter is the batter. Now the 2-2. Well hit down the left field line. Way back and gone! Joe Carter with a three-run homer. The winners and still world champions, the Toronto Blue Jays.
There's a drive into deep left field. Look out now. That ball is going. For a home run, and the Pirates win it 10-9 and win the World Series.
Sacks waiting on deck, but the game right now is at the plate. High fly ball into right field. She is gone! In a year that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened.
Pretty awesome. I mean, the hair on my arm stood up as soon as I heard Vince Scully go sacks on deck, knowing remembering watching that Kirk Gibson home run. I mean, that dude was on one leg.
Yeah.
And against the Eck, Dennis Eckersley. I mean, it was like, Tommy Lasorda, what are you doing? This is a cool. I mean, the World Series isn't time to, you know, give Kirk Gibson a participation ribbon for all that he did throughout the year. I mean, this is serious stuff, and he hit that home run. What's crazy, what is just absolutely crazy about that group of plays, and I had no idea when I started putting together and the order I put it together was just the order I put it in. The guy that's calling the first clip, which was the Don Larsen perfect game.
Mm-hmm.
Is the same guy that's calling the last clip, which was the Kirk Gibson home run, Vince Scully. And it was, at that time, it was only 33 years apart, 1956 to 1989, and he still motored on through.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have found as late, I think the latest play was the freeze home run in 2011, and you could find sound of Vince Scully calling that play. Yeah. And here is the most crazy thing about it. He sounded about the same. There wasn't a lot of drawback to Vin.
Yes.
At that point, that's the stuff. I mean, there's a lot of, the Diamondbacks Yankees World Series, and everything. Listen, everything that went along with that, and that's what makes baseball, sports, all of it so, I think, so endearing to the people that love it, is the fact that if you drew up a script in Hollywood that followed everything that went along before that World Series, obviously 9/11, with President Bush just firing absolute bullet right down the middle, opening, the game three out in New York City, to the drama that was those games in New York, and Pyung-Hung Kim blowing save after save, and Jeter hitting home runs, just the wildness of that series, and then for it to end on a walk-off with Luis Gonzalez, the first blown save in Mariano Rivera's playoff history, playoff career, to win the World Series. If you wrote that in a book, nobody'd believe it. But it was real life.
Yeah.
Real life is better than fiction most of the time. And, you know, the Atlanta World, the Atlanta Twins was a great World Series.
Yes.
But the thing about it was seven games. The last two are very, very memorable with Kirby Puckett's home run and then also the Jack Morris performance. John Smoltz also, he went 7 1/3 of shutout ball. The score was nothing going into the 10th in Game 7 of the World Series that year in 91. The Dodgers A's, that was a dramatic moment in Game 1, but the Dodgers won that 4-1. You know, but that Diamondback Yankees World Series had it all. Man, was it. Just actually, even the games that weren't close, like I think Game 6 ended up being, God, would the Diamondbacks get 20? They just blew them away. 16-2 or something. I mean, it was just 15-2. A rout. 15-2?
15-2.
See, yeah. It was just a rout in Game 6.
And they scored all 15 runs in 4 innings.
Yeah, it was like real compact. Yeah. And so, and it was just the drama and everything surrounding. And that's, to me, that's number one in my lifetime. I mean, there's, you know,
the 0-1 series.
The 0-1 series. Yeah. It's just what it had. And honestly, I know you don't want to hear it, but that 11, especially that game six in 2011, it's one of the best baseball games you'll ever see.
Just it's funny
the way it happened.
You know, your dad would say, well, hey, you get another game. We get a game seven. As soon as Freeze hit that home run, I knew, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. The Cardinals are going to win this thing. It doesn't matter. No, that was a heartbreaker. Of course, I was thinking about World
Series.
Well,
he did it twice.
He did. He was Mr.
Hamilton did it, and then it got – that was just amazing how he came back, how they came back.
And then Nelly Cruz trying to make it look dramatic when all he had to do was make a routine catch.
Yeah, just take a couple more steps back, bud. Put your glove up.
He tried to make a dramatic don't get me going. Anywho, that series I was talking about, I had to sneak around to watch that game seven was the 97 series, Marlins and Indians. Remember that?
Yep. Edgar Renteria ended it with a hit.
Been like an eighth grader, I think. And yeah, that one, you know, you talk about, I had no affiliation with either team. But it's like, that's the difference now between when we were that age and kids who are that age now, is that it's World Series. You have to watch the World Series, and you have to watch a Game 7.
Oh, yeah.
You have to watch a Game 7. And I remember my parents are like, time for bed. Like, it's Game 7. It's like, it's time for bed. So, went to bed, and I snuck on that TV as quietly as I could and watched the end of it. Now, but that, I mean, those are the couple. You know, the 97 series, 0-1. Of course, you know, 11 hurts because I am a Ranger fan. A lot of us are out here. But that was a fun series. It was very fun.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Hopefully this one's boring. Hopefully it's a 4-0 sweep.
Yeah, here you go. Here's the problem, the uphill fight that we're having. Got a text on my phone. My boy asked why there's no clock in baseball. Maybe there should
be. Well, that was some of the suggestions of fixing it is, and I know they've tried it, is to speed up between innings, you know.
It does seem like the commercial breaks are
longer,
extra long, and I'm sure they are, and that's all part of it. And that's kind of, but that's some of the stuff I'm talking about that can't be fixed. You're not gonna make the managers make their starting pitchers go six innings anymore, and so then it starts becoming, you know, a parade to the bullpen. And one last thing about Charlie Morton, I mentioned it at the top of the show. We really hadn't talked about it. Guy went 2 1/3, and he pitched 3 outs, 16 pitches with a broken fibula. Gurriel hit a one-hopper off of his forearm, and he got 2 outs to finish the second, came out and struck out Altuve on 6 pitches to start the third, and then had to go off the field because he broke his arm.
Toughest.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, after last night seeing that, I thought, you know, obviously NFL guys, they're tough guys. Some guys will play through pain, play through injuries. But baseball is up there as one of the toughest guys, in my opinion, of a lot of sports. Hockey's up there, too.
Oh, yeah.
The worst is probably basketball, because you got LeBron James, who would sit 5 games because of a hangnail. but you got this guy trying to pitch through a broken leg.
Yeah, broke his fibula. Broke his, yeah, it's just.
And I mentioned Nolan Ryan. I got a great picture of Nolan Ryan where,
yeah,
he has a bloody nose and he's just there spitting out blood while he still pitches.
I was there.
You were at that game. I think you told me that. Yeah.
Bo Jackson hitting with a line drive.
Yeah, and he stays in and pitches. Blood all down his shirt.
Yes.
You just see him just spitting out blood. And
this is such
going.
A coincidence. I saw Nolan Ryan pitch twice. You know the other time I saw him pitch?
The fight?
Yes, when he beat up Robin Ventura.
What are the chances?
Not very good.
Wow.
I was there for both of them. Isn't that crazy?
That's the most hits Nolan Ryan's ever had in a game.
I had no doubt who sent this latest text into the text line. I had no doubt who it was. Just a picture of Joe Burrow. Before we get to that, we got to remind everybody to make sure and make your picks this week in the Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em Contest. Week 8. Let's see. What does that mean? What do we got? Like 1, 2, probably 6 weeks left. Next week, 3 weeks. So that'd be, no, maybe 5 weeks left. No, not counting this week, it'll be 6. So like 5 more regular season weeks and then the championship game week. Thinking that's where we're going? I'm thinking that's what's going to happen.
I don't know how long.
I'm going to say we're 6 more weeks. So make sure and make your picks. Western Oklahoma Realty, people before property. Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen, and the gang down there. All your real estate needs, go visit them right there on 3rd Street in Elk City. It's Western Oklahoma Realty. Appreciate them being involved in the college pick'em again this year. All right, so I mentioned Joe Burrow. We saw the picture texted in at 225-9698. If you want to, you know, text any of your NFL stuff, feel free. But, man, the Cincinnati Bengals, are they the story of the year so far in the NFL?
I think,
on the positive side?
Well, sure, yeah. I mean, you're winning, and Joe Burrow, he's obviously – I think the questions were still out about him after last year's injury. Well, can that – skill set transfer over to the NFL level. Like a lot of big college quarterbacks, that's the question about them. Will it transfer over? And I think that question was still there after that injury last year. And I think it's being answered, and it definitely helps when you have Ja'Marr Chase, though, to throw it to.
How smart. Because, now listen, back at draft time, there were a lot of people, draft pundits, giving Cincinnati bad grades for the pick of Ja'Marr Chase because they felt like, in order to keep Burrow upright, it would be better to draft Penei Sewell, the offensive tackle, right, out of Oregon. But I think a couple of reasons why that was smart. One, weapons can help you get the ball out of your hands. But two, who it was. It was Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah,
they played together at LSU one of the most prolific offenses we've ever seen in college football.
They have chemistry, yeah.
And so far, he's got, I think, he's 754 receiving. It's the most ever by a rookie in 7 games. Maybe the most ever by anybody in 7 games. I mean, it's just, that connection is just incredible. And only on 35 catches. So 35 for 750, that's, what, 20, almost 22 a catch. And, they run it just enough with Mixon and with P. Ryan back there. The defense has been better, I think, than a lot of people thought. They were really able to kind of hamstring Lamar Jackson, especially in the second half of that game last week that Cincinnati beat Baltimore 41-7. So 41-17, I'm sorry. But really, the game was blown open at the end of the third quarter and then the fourth quarter with big plays from Cincinnati's offense, and then the defense forcing 4 and outs. You know, the Ravens were going for it on 4th and down almost exclusively there for the last quarter, and Cincinnati was stopping them, and then they get a long run for a touchdown. They're trying to run the damn clock out and couldn't because they kept up busting long runs. And I was sitting there, and my fantasy opponent had Piron, and I'm like, oh, this is great. He's not getting nothing. Then all of a sudden it was like, hey, quit, take a knee. We quit giving it to P-Ryan. He's 46-yard touchdowns and stuff. But I think it's a heck of a story so far from the Cincinnati Bengals. Nobody had them through 7 games atop the AFC North, which a lot of people thought would be, if not the best division in football, the second best division in football. And I don't know that it has turned out not to be. because it's Cincinnati at the top instead of Cleveland, I don't think that makes it any less strong of a division through the first seven games.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons Cleveland's not at the top because of injuries and their issues with that. And, of course, Pittsburgh looks like Big Ben is finally – this might be it for him. But the way Cincinnati beat what I thought was the favorite going into this week. Now, I wasn't high on Baltimore starting the year because of their running back situation, but I thought with the way everything's shaking out, this is going to be Baltimore's division to lose. With the way they handled them, I mean, and I emphatically say handled them, yeah, it's a great story. Can it be sustained? I mean, we'll see. Now you got everybody's attention. And how often do we see that happen? When you get somebody's attention and, you know, they can scheme around you. So, you know, kind of like the Kansas City effect. You know, they take out Tyreek Hill, then, you know, who else can Joe Burrow beat you without having to go to Chase?
Here's what's crazy. When you look at their schedule, they've already won at Pittsburgh and at Baltimore within the division.
Yes. Yeah, so they get a host them.
They get a host, and then both Browns games are still coming. At the Browns is the last game of the season on that Cincinnati schedule. Man, everything sets up pretty well. You know, there's not just a – it's by no means a murderer's row. Now, depending on our next topic and what happens with them, those last three games, hosting Ravens, hosting Chiefs at Browns, that could be a lot harder than it looks like right now. Jim made the statement on Monday that the Kansas City Chiefs are done. Do you buy into that?
No. Do you really believe it? I mean, no, it's still the Chiefs and it's still Mahomes. Yeah, but I'm not ready to bury him just yet. I could still see them put a run together. What's the rest of their schedule look like? I mean, could they – this is crazy to say.
All right, Giants.
Could they miss the playoffs?
Oh, yeah. They could. They definitely could. They have. Home against Giants, home against Packers.
Loss.
At Raiders, home against Cowboys, home against Broncos, home against Raiders, at Chargers, host Steelers, at Bengals, at Broncos. Right now, they're already two games behind in the division. And they're also in third with the Chargers at 4-2. And so, really, the Chargers have had their bye. So, if they were able to, you know, win, they've got a game in hand, I guess. So, a win there, and they're two games back of two different teams in the division. They're actually tied for last if you look down at Denver. And here's the crazy thing. Their point differential is the worst in the division at minus 15.
That is crazy.
It is just nuts. And there's a lot of problems. The defense is horrible. You know, I saw Dakota retweet a deal yesterday on Facebook share that it was a joke from one of the Kansas City fan forums. It was an APB out for Frank Clark. If anybody finds him, contact Coach Andy Reid along the defensive line. You know, and I think that Mahomes was Mahomes. That offense was what it was. The defense had definitely gotten better over the past 2 years, which allowed them to, you know, win a Super Bowl, play for, you know, the title again. But, and I think I mentioned this to start before the season started, if there was a crack in that armor, it was and is going to continue to be. They're not just flush with weapon after weapon on the offensive side like they have been. And part of it is because people are making more money, or people are wanting to go make more money. And so you replace, you know, Sammy Watkins, just a pro, with Mecole Hardman. Is it DeMarcus Robinson? Is it Byron Pringle? It's just kind of a guy, right?
Yeah.
And so defenses, and they're starting to figure out, we are idiots if we just let Tyreek Hill run right down the middle of the field and score from 70 yards. And so what you're seeing is a little bit of what, you know, the Iowa State philosophy in the Big 12. Rush three, drop eight, and make those teams that want to throw the football down the field have to take it play by play by play and be disciplined enough to do it. And I think with the defense having the problems they've had, Mahomes has forced some stuff, which has led to turnovers, which has led to losses.
Yeah. But
and they can't run the ball.
No, they can't. And the big, and I'm with you on the, you know, making money thing. And that was something everybody was talking about.
But you have to pay Mahomes. I mean, you're not going to let him go.
Well, sure, yeah.
You have to pay him. But you also trusted that he, and I think he is. But the offensive line, I think everybody just assumed new guys, better names would equal blocking. And I think what you're seeing is it's going to take time for those guys to gel together as a unit. Just because you have more skilled players at different positions doesn't mean you have a more skilled, better line yet. Now, the reason why I'm not going to say they're done is because I think that if that can come together, they can actually start to run the ball, take a little pressure off Mahomes, force the defenses to respect, you know, Edwards-Helaire, whoever's back there. I know Clyde's on the IR right now, but that to me is the recipe for them to get back in this thing and end up in the playoffs, maybe even win the division by the time it's all said and done. But they can't afford like a slip up or two, or that curse of the Super Bowl runner up will be in effect. What's your top five?
My top five will be number five, Bills. I know they lost the Titans, but that was a closer game. What if you watch it, you know. Packers at four, they seem to be kind of ramping it up lately. Cowboys at three, and Bucks at two. Buccaneers are scoring a lot of points, and they look like, you know, I see talk about Tom Brady and his 600 touchdown passes. They look like kind of like last year, right? Kind of like what, late October, November, they started,
yeah, except for they just started that way this time. There wasn't like, hey, are the Bucks going to be any good? No, they've been good
like
the whole time.
Kind of getting, yeah, right, if not better.
Yeah.
And then because they're undefeated, I got to respect this Cardinals at number one. I know that they beat a really bad Texans team, but I think Cardinals number one, and I still think Kyler Murray is the MVP favorite right now.
Yeah, him, Brady. Anybody else? You know, I don't know if you put Burrow there yet. David Carr's having a great year. Or Derek Carr, I mean. Derek Carr.
David.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And there's always that monster in Tennessee that's lurking to jump into an MVP race.
I wouldn't count out Aaron Rodgers either.
And Rodgers, sure.
And, of course, Dak. He's already wrapped up the comeback player of the year.
Yeah, you'd think so.
You'd think so. But if his production keeps going up,
and Josh Allen, if they go on a run, will be a name you hear too.
Yeah.
I have got number five, I've got Tennessee.
Because I debated Bills, Tennessee.
Because
really.
Of what they did the last 2 weeks. Knock it off last year's AFC title game.
Right.
So I've got Tennessee at five. I've got the Pack at four. I've got the Bucks at three. I've got the Cowboys. I'm going to slide them down to two just because, as you said, Arizona now 7-0. And it looks like they're more complete than I thought they were. That defense is better than I thought. Watching, I realize it was Houston. I know they're terrible. But you can see the makings of a complete team there. The one thing about Arizona that makes it all – oh, wait. Sorry, Tennessee. I forgot somebody. Oh, my God, am I going to have nothing but NFC teams? I am. Rams, five. Not Tennessee.
Still in the Rams, huh?
Rams, Pack. Bucks, Cowboys, Cardinals. Bottom three.
In no particular order. Welcome to my bottom three, Texans. Should have had you there the whole time. You're horrible. Lions, you're Ofer, you're there. And Jets, I think, because Wilson's out, right?
Yeah, he got hurt.
They're not going to win another game.
You know, I'm not going to put the Lions there because they play hard and they've been pretty close.
They play hard. It looks like they played
fun,
too.
Gosh, they almost beat the Rams.
Yeah, they're playing fun. You see all the stuff that they were doing.
Yeah.
But they're still
– they're terrible.
They're
defeated.
They're defeated, yes.
I'm going to go the Dolphins, the Jets, and the Texans.
I'm happy you put the Dolphins there.
Dolphins, Jets, and Texans. Dolphins, that was the biggest miss I've had.
You're very mature
since Herbert.
There.
Not being any good. Thanks a lot, Tua.
Yeah, they're bad.
They are bad. I don't know how they're
Texans
so bad.
I think Texans are worse. I think they're in a worse spot.
And the Jets are terrible.
Jets are horrible. They're always on.
Who did the Jets beat? They beat the Dolphins?
Maybe. Maybe that is the reason why you put them there.
They beat the... Oh, no, no. They beat the Titans. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
How the hell did the Titans lose to the Jets? We'll be back. What's your top five, bottom three in the NFL? 225-9698. Shoot us a text. Call us. Whatever you want to do. Tell us what you think about the league so far. Almost at the halfway pole of the NFL season. Week 8 coming up this week. It's crazy how fast it goes. It's also crazy how fast high school football goes. Week 9 in high school football features the clash of I-40 rivals. Elk City heading over to Clinton on Friday night. Both teams 7-1 overall. Clinton's lone loss came to Heritage Hall. Elk City's lone loss came in district to Bethany. A lot of different possibilities depending on the result of this game within the district, which obviously influences what's going on in the playoff hunt. But when you look at, and I've been doing a bunch of historical stuff for this matchup, when you look at it, and you're right, there's not very many teams in the state of Oklahoma that have much success, if any, against Clinton, but the Elks are down that totem pole for sure. From what I could find, the series history is 66-12. In my lifetime, it's 40-5, in favor, obviously, of Clinton. And three of those wins came in a 13-month span from, October of 97 through early December of 98. So outside of that little run, two times. You know, in everything, you know, Clinton's won 22 of the last 23. The Elks haven't won there at the Tornado Bowl since that 1998 season and that downpour over there in Clinton. So, you know, all the historical numbers going to favor the Red Tornadoes, but those are thrown out the window when you walk on that field there on Friday night. It's this team versus that team. Watching Clinton, man, are they explosive on offense. My gosh, it seems like every single game, both, it's not just one, but both Nate Jones and Aaron Seabolt are scoring from the Clinton side of the field on a run. You know, they just pile up the yards and not many carries. And, yes, they're running the sweep. Yes, sometimes they just follow the quarterback into the hole and burst out the other side. But one thing that I've noticed is their vision and hitting the cutback lanes. That's going to be so important for the Elks defense on Friday night, is to stay disciplined with what they're supposed to be doing and doing your job and not trying to do somebody else's. Because I think what you see on film watching the different teams try to defend Clinton is when – one guy gets out of position trying to make a play that's not in his area, not his responsibility, that's when that hole opens up and you see those guys burst right through it and go all the way, no matter where they're at on the field.
It's crazy when you see people cut back like that. It's you see more holding calls, but you don't get that. You don't see that from Clinton. They're really disciplined. And you talk about the explosiveness. Man, it's just like same story, different year with those guys. I had a feeling at the beginning of the year, because there's always a guy for Clinton. There's always a running back. There's always that one guy. And then going into this year, I think it was you who asked me, what do they look like? And just from stuff I've seen, I said, man, I think they're running back by committee. And that is very true. Even going into week 9 here, they are. You mentioned the Seabolt and Jones, quarterback Powell, he even runs it a lot. It's just running back by committee. And that is going to be, I mean, you have to be very disciplined on defense. And we kind of, you know, it's kind of fortunate we played Cash when we played them, because they did a lot of misdirection, a lot of motion, hand off the ball weird to a point. It almost looked like a Statue of Liberty play every time they handed it off. And you have to be very, very disciplined. Same thing rings true when you're playing Clinton, because I think, you know, they'll run the wildcat at you. Then they'll just line up and run right at you. And if you think you're going to bottle up one guy, then they'll go, okay, we'll just give it to the other guy. So it's going to be a tough ask, but I think we're going to get ourselves a really good game because of Elk City's defense. I really do. I'm really high on their defense.
Yeah, that's going to tell the tale. I mean, because Bethany had guys, and you know they did it a totally different way. But this is going to be more of a challenge to your manhood, more of a challenge to your physicality. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There's no, you know, zone read concept. This is coming right at you. And we're going to see about six plays. That's what's crazy. You're going to see about six plays. You're going to see, you know, the the craziest one is like just the jet sweep. You know, where Seabolt lines up in the slot, comes across in motion, they hand it to him.
Right.
Outside of that, you're going to see pitch. You're going to see just a lead with the tailback. You're going to see fullback. You're going to see fake to the fullback, Caden Powell run.
Yeah.
Can you stop it? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what you're going to see. And here's the thing. If you see a whole bunch more, you know, maybe a slip it out into the flat to one of the receivers. I know Barker has been pretty dangerous in the last couple of games, making big plays through the passing game when the ball doesn't travel 8 yards, you know, in the air and then go. And now Powell threw a really nice pass to him over the middle for the second touchdown on last Friday night against Weatherford, kind of on a little post route. A really good throw, and he's got a cannon for an arm. There's no doubt about that. But his, you know, if you can make him be a thrower to beat you, that's as good an ask as you can get if you're Oak City's defense, if you make Clinton throw it to beat you. Because that means you've stopped or at least bottled up a little bit the run game, which, and the beauty of Clinton, I think, for all the years, is this. They will not, you know, you hear a lot with when we talk about OU, commitment to the run, commitment to stay committed. Clinton will. And that's what's so hard about stopping them, is you can stop that sweep play 8 times in a row for 2 yards, 2 yards, 2 yards, 2 yards, punt, whatever, 2 yards, punt. But you better start at stop at the ninth or it's 80 out the gate and there's 7 on the board. That's what makes it so hard, is they do stay committed to the run game. And they're physical. And they're not, you know, there's some big guys and there's some not big guys on that line. I mean, I think when you look out there on Friday night, either in the stadium, watching us on Big Elk TV, you'll think, man, Elk City's guys are bigger along the defensive front. Mm-hmm. But are they as physical? And that's just, to me, a staple of Clinton football throughout the years.
Well, they've gotten guys
that are undersized to be that tough and to be that disciplined and to be that smart at blocking and just continue and continue and continue.
Yeah, I can name guys left and right who are always undersized, but they're always the toughest guys on the field. You know, growing up in Clinton, it's
sure.
I know them, and that was something that the Clinton program did take pride in. I think they still take pride in, is like, hey, we don't have to be the biggest, but we're going to be the toughest. So again, Elk City, you can go out there and go, hey, we're bigger than you. You better be as tough as they are.
That's right. And that's always the challenge when you're playing that maroon and gold with that C on that helmet, is can you be as physical as they are? Because you know they're bringing it. Can you? And can you match it? And if you can, then we can sit here and talk about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But first and foremost, you have to be able to stand up to that physicality and push back. You're going to get hit in the face. Can you push? Can you hit right back? And that'll be the key to Friday night. And how competitive that game gets.
Right.
Throughout.
Yep. It's going to be fun. We got a couple more days to talk about it, but there's a big opportunity here for the Big Elks.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in the next couple of days, of what's out there with the results. What are the possibilities? Boy, wouldn't it be nice on November the 12th just to drive about 3 blocks?
Oh, great.
Call a playoff game here.
Yes.
Everybody have a great Wednesday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.